I am back. Hello, everybody. I am going to share my birth story. I did write it out and I sent it to people, like typed, but excuse me. I figured I should make it into a podcast as well for those of y'all who hate to read. And yeah, okay. So anyways, here we go. So I feel like to even tell this story, I have to start like from the beginning. So it starts back with Leo's birth. And when I had Leo, I had him in a hospital and I was very like uneducated on anything. I had like a Lamaze class or whatever, but I wasn't educated really on natural birth and the different phases that you would go through and the different things in the hospital that you'd be presented with, yada yada. So I kind of went in blind, I feel like, and it was kind of traumatic. I almost ended up in an emergency C-section. I didn't. I ended up having him natural, but I did have an epidural, which caused like a bunch of complications. My heart rate dropped, his heart rate dropped, my blood pressure dropped. It just was not a good experience. And afterwards, I just felt like horrible. So I was like, well, I'm yawning because I'm recording this. I have 3 kids now. If you follow me, you know that. But for those of you who have just followed for the podcast, I think I started my first podcast right after I had Leo. So that was about 4 years ago. And I've had 2 kids since then. Excuse me. And yeah. So anyways, that's kind of how that happened. And then for my daughter, Anna, when I had her, like, the next year, I had her the November of the next year. I was determined to have a natural birth because, meaning no, like an unmedicated birth, because I just didn't want to go through that again. And I knew that my body with the epidural just did not react well. So I ended up having her. She was probably my easiest labor. It was like 4 hours beginning to end. I got to the hospital at the last like 45 minutes and I had her within like a half hour. Unmedicated, she came out super quick. It was the best. But I hated the hospital staff. So at that point, as soon as I had her, I told my husband, if we have any more kids, I can do a home birth and like choose who I want to be there, because I knew at that point I could give birth naturally. And I was like, the hospital staff was just so rude. So sorry, I keep yawning. I bet I made you yawn. So now fast forward, we moved out of state, in April 2023, and in maybe May or June, I found out that I was pregnant for our third, which was not really planned. And so we had just moved into our house. We moved out of state away from family. And I found out I was pregnant again. And it was definitely my hardest pregnancy because I had a 1-year-old, a 1.5-year-old, and a 3-year-old. Was he 3? Yeah, he had just turned 3. So, in a new state, in a new house, my husband had a new job. So, like, our insurance changed, our house changed, our life changed, and then I was pregnant and felt like complete garbage for, like, 20 weeks. So it was definitely my hardest pregnancy. We did move to Pennsylvania to be close to a church that we love, and which is Revival Today Church in Pittsburgh.
is the church that we go to. And I was like so excited to move closer because I was like, now I can, like, I'll be able to make friends and like go to all the activities. They always have so much going on. And then I got pregnant and felt like trash and basically like didn't leave the house. So it just, I think for those reasons, it was just my hardest pregnancy. And by like week 40, and you know what, I will say God definitely provided because we had so many visitors. My mom came to visit like a couple times. We made friends in our area. By like week 40, I was just like toast. And my two younger cousins actually came from Florida to stay with us so that when I did go into labor, they could help with my older two. But I'm getting ahead of myself. So with my husband's job, we got insurance and I was looking at delivering at a hospital again. And this was like depressing to me, to be honest, because I had reached out to a few midwives and they told me like what the cost would be. And it was around like $5,000 or $5,000 out of pocket. And we had insurance. So I was like, well, why am I going to pay for something out of pocket if insurance will cover it? Well, then long story short, we ended up, you know, our deductible was the same as paying out of pocket for the midwife. But at that point of figuring it all out, the midwife that I wanted was like already booked for the month of January. She posted it on her Facebook page. So I just kept continuing going to the OB and basically was like miserable because I didn't want to give birth in the hospital again. And like home birth was like the birth of my dreams. So I just was like depressed about it and just like was like wallowing in my self-pity. And then I had watched a podcast with somebody that I love, and she was telling a story of how she in faith like took the first step because in our minds, the way we want God to work is to have everything provided for and then we'll do something. So like in my mind, I was like, if God gives me a check for $5,000 and this midwife like texts me, then I'll, you know, have this home birth. And then I was like, you know, and then I listened to this podcast after and she was saying how they went to put an offer on a house and they really couldn't afford it, that like it wasn't really in their budget. And she just was like, yeah, like trying to work with them. Like she made the appointment anyways. And then when she met with the people, because she did it out of obedience to God and like in faith, the people that own the property ended up giving it to them for like way cheaper. And so that story came to my mind because I was like, you know what? I'm just being an idiot. Like I need to take the first step. And so I felt God, you know, prompt me to reach out to the midwife. And I was like at 30 weeks at this point. Like, this is really cutting it close. Usually when you first get pregnant, you reach out to the midwife because they have like busy schedules, obviously. So I was really late in the game. And so I reached out to her and I was like, I just told her like I really wanted to have a home birth. And I know that she said she was full for January, but wondering if she could squeeze me in. And so So she got back to me and, you know, because of my location to her, she was able to squeeze me in. And then that same day in the mail, she required a deposit. And so just like a further confirmation, so the deposit was like $500 or something like that. And that day, we got a check in the mail from like our mortgage company, and it was like a reimbursement that we overpaid. So it was like, which like never happens really. So, it was just like for, you know, for that to happen the same day that, like, I had to pay the deposit, I was just like, okay, this is definitely God. Like, God's hand, isn't it? So my whole attitude about the birth changed at that point, because I was kind of just, like, felt like, geez, we weren't planning to have, you know, to have gotten pregnant this quick after just having moved. Like, I have a lot on my plate, getting the house organized, like, just everything going on. And then I just felt like it was, you know, I took that step of faith, and it just proved to me that, like, God's hand was in everything. And that's, it's, like, so important to exercise your faith in that way, because it, like, you might be scared to take that step, but when you do take that step, it's such, like, a faith builder, and brought so much joy to me for the rest of those weeks in pregnancy, because I was like, now I felt like I could breathe. And I was like, this is amazing, because now I can have the birth of my dreams. And, like, God opened this door for me, and I know it was Him. And it just encouraged me so much, because I was like, wow, He really cares about every detail. And I'm so glad that I did that, and it built my faith, and God just provided. And now it just made me trust Him that everything was going to be fine with the home birth, because I was like, I know without a doubt that He opened this door. So anyways, I was going to continue with my birth story, but I just don't even want to share my birth story yet. I just want to talk about faith. And what I've been thinking about so much lately, especially after just telling that story, is the fact that there needs to come a point in our walk with God and in life where we stop watching everybody else talk about, you know, I'm going to word it wrong, where instead of listening to everybody else to get inspired, like, we inspire. Instead of watching everybody else live their dream and, like, following it and sharing it on Instagram and posting it on Facebook, like, we just need to put the phone down and, like, live our dream. And maybe that sounds extreme with just, like, the home birth thing, but it just, like, clicked with me when I was going through that situation. Like, at some point I need to stop listening to podcasts of everybody else walking in faith and, like, the amazing things that God's doing in their life, and freaking take a step myself. Like, what is the step of faith that I need to do for my life? You know, I just, not that it's bad to listen to things of faith, but, like, at some point you have to, like, listen to other people's stories, get inspired, but then at some point you have to step out and, like, you do the inspiring. Like, what is it that God put in your heart that you want to do? Stop listening to everybody else and, like, do your thing. You know? I don't know. So I'm just, like, laying in bed. It's 9:00. I have the baby sleeping next to me. And I just didn't even want to share the birth story, because I just wanted to talk about that. And seriously, like, what is the thing? You know how fast, I'm even just thinking about how fast life has gone by. You know, Leo just turned 4. And I'm looking back at my podcasts, and I'm like, holy smokes, I just posted that podcast, you know, say 2020, and it feels like it was yesterday. Like, it really does. And 4 years went right by. And it's like, time is not going to stop moving. Time is always moving forward. It's always going to be ticking. The clock is ticking constantly, every day. You'll never be as young as you are right now. So it's like, why wait to do what God has called you to do? And if you're waiting, like, what the heck is the reason? There really is no excuse. And you really can't force somebody to walk in God's plan for their life. Like, at some point, like, nobody can push you. Nobody's going to hand it to you on a platter. Like, you have to wake up and do it. So it's like, what are you doing? This is totally a different direction than I meant this podcast to go, but here we are. And I am challenging you, what the heck is getting in the way from you doing what you know you should be doing? Like, why haven't you started that business? Like, why are you waiting? Why are you telling yourself, oh, once I do this, I'll be happy? No,
Like, what the heck? Don't do that. Life is way too short. It really goes by super quick. I'm only 29. I just turned 29. I'm only 29. I'm not even 30 yet. But, like, seeing how fast life goes by, especially now having kids, like, just because basically every day from, like, sun up to sundown, I'm busy. I'm doing, you know, I'm changing diapers, I'm feeding, I'm making meals. You know, time doesn't stop. And it's so true when they say, like, the days are long, but the years are short. Like, we have some long days sometimes, but the years have just flown by. And like, I felt God challenge me, like, how long are you going to wait to do this podcast? So here I am, guys. This is me living my dream. So, yeah. So right now I'm recording on my iPhone still because I'm laying in bed. But once my baby's not a newborn, I do have a podcast speaker that I ordered. And that was, like, another thing that God provided, because I really have always felt like God pushed me to do a podcast. And I was, like, gonna order this podcast speaker on Amazon. And it was, like, I think it was, like, $90 or something like that on Amazon. And if you want, I can share the link with you. Actually, I haven't used it yet, so I'll let you know. But anyways, so I was like, okay, it's like $90. And I'm like, okay, well, God, if you want me to do it, I pray, like, it would be a confirmation that $90 would, like that I would have money towards it. So anyways, two people gifted me Amazon gift cards for like $80 the same day. Granted, it was for my birthday, but specifically Amazon gift cards, like, nobody ever gives me Amazon gift cards. So, you know, I was just like, okay, this was another thing. And God will do stuff like that for you. Like, I don't know. It's just, you have to use and exercise faith as a muscle. The Bible says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. Just think about that. Without taking, and faith isn't passive, it's active. It's taking a step. Faith is a muscle, it's a verb, it's something you have to do. It's not, you know, oh, I just have this faith in my heart. No, that's hope. Faith without faith without works is dead, it says in James. Faith without works is dead. So that means faith is a verb. It's something that we have to do. And if it's impossible to please God without it, then as a Christian, my number one priority is to please God. And so I'm going to find out exactly how to work this faith muscle if I want to be pleasing to God, which is obviously at the heart of every Christian of what we should, you know, want to do. So, you know, it's really the substance that we need to practice all the time. And, like, it's for me too. Like, it's something that I constantly need to think. Sometimes I have to sit there and think, okay, I've been so busy. Like, when have I exercised my faith? Like, what am I exercising my faith for? We need to always be doing it. So, anyways, I think I'm just going to end the podcast there, because honestly, like, I just felt like obviously the Lord wanted it to go into this direction. So somebody needed to hear this today. And I also want to share, if you have never confessed, the Bible says that when you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, that you will be saved. And so if you have never confessed, you know, Jesus died on the cross for your sins, and then he rose again. He's alive today, and he can actually fill you with his Holy Spirit to guide you, lead you, direct you, and everything that you do. Just like I was saying before, like, that home birth, like, I know it was the Lord that provided that, and he gave me that desire of my heart. And the Lord wants to do stuff like that for you. Your life might be hard. You, without God, life is hard. So, you know, what better way than to surrender your life to Jesus and let him take care of you? Let him be the Father. He's the shepherd that takes care of his sheep, and he's the one that will take care of you. It's just so much easier in life to throw your hands up, let go, and just know that you're not responsible for every little detail of your life. Like, we can trust and know that God is taking care of us. And yeah, so if you have never confessed Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I ask you right now, wherever you're at, to say this prayer with me and say, Lord, thank you for dying for my sins. I believe in Jesus that he died and rose again and is coming back for me. I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. Forgive me of my sins. Make me new. Fill me with your spirit and the joy of the Lord. And I thank you that I have a brand new life. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you just said that prayer, you literally get a new life. And I think my next podcast is probably going to be about being born again, because I don't know, that is also another topic that in birth, talking so much about birth, I have also been thinking about being born again spiritually so much. So the next podcast we'll talk about birth and being born again. So we'll catch you next time on the Young Woman of God pod. Follow me on Insta at Cordy Cozy and send me a message if you said that prayer for the first time or if you are going to take a step of faith. All right. Love ya. Bye.